Two Guys, One Rail Podcast.
G'day, guys. It is Kevin and Anthony, your hosts of the Two Guys, One Rail Podcast, and we are here to do our review of the Fantastic Four First Steps.
Please welcome the Fantastic Four. Mr. Fantastic. Invisible Woman. Human Torch.
I love you, Johnny!
And the Thing.
Hey, what time is it? Say the thing!
That's not really something I say.
It's clobbering time!
That's just in the cartoon. Never late for Sunday dinner. Let's eat.
Hey, what time is it?
It's dinner time. Get inside.
I herald his beginning. I herald your end. I herald. Galactus.
What is that?
Get us out of here, Ben!
Hold on! Are we safe?
I don't know.
The clock is ticking. We are going to find a solution.
We are going to make it right.
You don't want to just crush him?
I like that.
The four of us will face the danger. We will protect you.
Family. It's about connecting to something bigger than yourself. We'll face it together. As a family.
What time is it, Ben?
No.
What time is it, Ben?
No, Johnny.
Say it!
I don't wanna!
Say it!
Hey guys, yeah, so this is a big one that we saw during the week, and Kev, pretty good film, wasn't it?
Yep. Love, pretty good.
Yeah, I think we're quite happy with it, and like, we've come together now to give you guys our thoughts, and yeah, later on we'll lead into our spoilers, and yeah, we appreciate you being with us.
All right.
Kev, start with the cast, I guess.
Yep.
Oh, this is obviously directed by Matt Shakman, and this is again one of his big budget directorial debuts, and with a cast including Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, Ebon Mus Macrack, and Joseph Quinn, and Ralph Ineson with Julie Garner as well, just to name a few. There's a lot bigger cast, but they're our main players.
So, with Fantastic Four, everyone knows the general story, but with this one, it's yep. Mr. Fantastic, Invisible Woman, Human Torch, and The Thing face their most daunting challenge yet as they defend Earth from Galactus and the Silver Surfer.
Yes. So, obviously, when we meet them, they're very already established, and we're meeting them on a different Earth, Kev.
That is right.
Yeah, a different Earth than the 616, which is the main MCU Earth.
Yeah. Do we want to say what this one is?
Yeah. Yeah. This one is 818.
There we go. So yeah. A completely different planet, different Earth, which is fantastic, which is pretty good. Well, there you go, fantastic.
And we're back in time too, Kev. We're in the 1960s.
Yes. This is what I was very surprised about.
Yeah.
It was really interesting how they set in that time period. I guess it was based on the Fantastic Four, the animated series was based in that time, I think.
Yeah. But it's very true to the comics too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it was really good set at that time, actually. I felt like it fitted, because with that setting in the 1960s, mm-hmm. they've had it visually looking like it.
Yeah, visually stunning.
Yeah, back in the day when they thought the future looked like.
Yeah.
That's what it was pictured, and it was really cool.
Yeah. It reminded me, like, in the original Iron Man, Captain America, when we meet Tony Stark and we see what their idea of the future is going to be like. And he's got the flying car, kind of, and, like, so that aesthetic, and also, like, just basically how they view the possibilities of the future. But the aesthetic of the 1960s works so well for this film. And, like, obviously, we're purists of the original Fantastic Four films. And, like, compared to those two, where they actually did the origin stories, where they fully fleshed them out, and they were on a mission, and they were struck by the Celestial Force, and they each got their powers. Where in this film, we meet them. That incident's already happened, and they've all each gathered their powers, and they have quite an influence on this world, on this earth.
Yeah, that is right. And I'm glad they didn't dwell on it. Like, it was a quick overview, and I'm glad they showed the old school, like, what they looked like before they transformed, especially Ben, before he turned into the Thing. And it was good how they had that little montage. It's quick. It's, you know what it is. We don't need to dwell on it, which is, I'm that's the way to go.
Yeah.
The learning.
It was kind of like, well, it's happened. And, like, in the view of Ben, it's like, well, it's happened. I'm now the way I am. Mm-hmm. He just lives on with it. He just gets on with it. And, you know, he is very adept. He's, like, a very good cook. Very crafty. You made the comment that it would have been great if, because obviously the actor who plays Ben is from
The Bear,
and you said to me it would have been a nice little nod if he'd gone yes chef
or if Johnny or someone or Herbie that comment or just someone, you know, made an off comment, because he was talking about food in one scene, and he was very specific about it, and I'm like, just someone please say yes chef.
It would be a nice little nod. But you know what, he's a great actor, and I think he fills the role so well. And again, I loved Herbie, like, I want a Herbie. But yeah, like, obviously you can't mistake the presence that Pedro Pascal has as Reed. You know, and Vanessa Kirby as Sue, and again, she's just amazing. You know, and what do you think?
Well, I want to touch on that with Pascal Vasquez. He was really good in this role. He plays a very good father figure, sort of thing like that. And Sue, she plays a very good mother figure, and they together, those two actors, seemed to really mesh well.
They had a good chemistry, didn't they?
Yeah, and it was very good, because as you're looking at the previous films, as they didn't mesh very well at the start, I like this. It made the world established as they're, and like, family. As you say,
father figure, because Joseph Quinn, who plays Johnny, you know, in the previous films, we saw Chris Evans playing a very... At first, he's a very cocky, very sure of himself, and probably considered arrogant. And then when he gets his powers, it takes him a while to realize that the responsibility he has with the powers. And with Johnny in this film, he has a bit of that, but he also is someone who's quite intelligent himself.
Yeah, he was like, second to Reed, basically.
Yeah.
And very switched on.
Yeah, very switched on. It was kind of like there was a lot of stuff that they probably set up for Reed to do, but in the fact that Reed had such a hands-on role with the mission. They had Johnny come up with a lot of the things in the film. And obviously the dominant force with the whole group is Sue. And, like, you know, you can't mistake just, again, how powerful, you know, she is amongst them all.
Yes.
But they have such a very big presence in this Earth as well, and a responsibility. Mm. Like I was remarking how, obviously, that when we meet them, you know, they've overcome already quite a bit. But they're very well established, and they're in the Baxter Building, which is a very famous Baxter Building, which, you know, featured in the cartoons, as you mentioned before, and yeah, in the previous films. I thought they're very well resourced, aren't they, Kev?
Yeah, they're very well resourced. They are entrusted by everyone on this planet.
Yeah,
because I feel like they're the only protectors of this planet.
Yeah.
Like, there's no intermingling with any other super being as they're aware of.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's really cool to see how established. And, they get funding from whenever they need with really no questions asked. Unlike the other movies.
Exactly.
Everyone questions them. So
that's right. And doubts them, challenges them.
Exactly.
And they really have to establish themselves, where in this, they're past that. They've proven themselves. And so, like, when they're confronted by the Silver Surfer, who issues the warning that, you know, Galactus is coming, and that Earth is basically on its last moments, and that, you know, as she says, I herald Galactus, and that Earth is at its end, basically. And so this is obviously a force that they've never reckoned with before.
No. But it's like, okay, well, they're just like, okay.
Yeah.
You're just not going to take the planet. They didn't know exactly what Silver Surfer was on about.
Exactly.
And speaking of Silver Surfer, what did you think of the CGI effect of Surfer in this one?
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a mixed bag. I mean, I thought there was some great moments where, like, it was amazing. But there are other moments where they're a bit choppy, and I thought, oh, you know, maybe they missed it, you know. But well, what do you think?
Well, when it comes to the Silver Surfer, the look of her, it did feel like looked exactly the same as the Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Yeah, and obviously, Jodie Comer plays the Silver Surfer in this.
And plays very well.
Yeah. Very much so. I mean, the Silver Surfer in the originals was voiced by Lawrence Fishburne.
Mm.
And again, like, I don't think it matters that the Silver Surfer is a female in this film.
Oh, no, because Silver Surfer can be anything. It's anyone that wants, basically anyone that wanted to protect their planet from Galactus, turned into the Silver Surfer. So it doesn't matter if it's a male or female.
Exactly. But you can't mistake how powerful the Silver Surfer is. You know, they've got a power, and the board that she rides, and I always love the power that they have, that they can fully absorb themselves through buildings, and you know, like, yeah, just amazing. Like, I was really impressed with her at first, but like you said, the CGI, a bit choppy in moments.
Yeah,
but obviously, Johnny is straight away on a pursuit to find answers, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. And he does find his answers, but we'll touch on that a little bit more.
We shall.
In the spoilers. And talking about sort of the pacing a little bit of this movie, it didn't actually feel like a very long movie. It actually paced very well for me. I'm glad that the humor and all that was very balanced. I didn't feel like they went and tried to do too many jokes.
They didn't did they?
No, and they weren't too serious either, which I'm like, is a good balance, which is very
good. But they had what I perceived as a very genuine connection, all of them, and a good relationship. And, you know, they obviously love each other a lot. And, you know, like, obviously, in the original films, there was a bit of a rivalry between Reed and and Johnny, but also there was the struggle of Ben not handling the fact that he's the thing and struggling that he's lost his humanity, not being able to have a life, and that he's not able to do the things that he normally does or that he wants to do. In this one, he's just fully embraced the fact that he is the thing.
Yeah, that I was going to pick up on that too, like, because I recently rewatched all the other films just to, for a comparison in a way. And yeah, you're right. And in First Steps, did he have a wife? I don't think he mentioned he had a family. So he was by himself.
He was by himself, he had an affection for Natasha Lyonne's character.
Yeah.
Who was the leader of the church in where the Baxter Building is, and but he was apprehensive to approach her because he probably felt like Michael Chiklis's Ben did that he wouldn't be accepted as he is, but she doesn't see him as the thing.
The thing, no.
She just sees him as Ben.
Yeah,
and I love that.
Yeah. No, it was good. I'm glad that they didn't go on down that route of he had a family he lost and that sort of stuff. I'm glad that he's an established character and he's comfortable within himself.
Yeah.
Rather than being, like, just worried about what everyone else thinks of him, which, no, actually, he really didn't really care about it, did he? No.
No.
He didn't. No, he was comfortable with who he is and what he is.
But, and yeah, he was reluctant to approach her, though, because he felt that she wouldn't want him as he is.
Yeah, that I do that part. Yeah, yeah.
But again, in talking to her, he's just talking to her as a man, you know. But then, like, again, you see that they all have their quirks, you know, like their personalities, and like when Sue and Reed find out that they're pregnant.
Yep.
They come to talk to Johnny and Ben, and they kind of already know. Like, they realize very quickly, like, because they said, oh, we've got to tell you something. And they go, and they guess straight away.
Oh, Ben got it pretty quick. He gathered, because they're acting strange, they're acting weird.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. He picked up on it. And obviously, we didn't see that in the originals.
No, well, they didn't. Well, they weren't. In the originals, they weren't really trying for a baby and that. Basically, they're trying to just get along.
Yeah, that's
right. They're trying to be a team. With this, they are a team. So they're going to that next step, which, you know, is the first steps.
That's right, yeah.
Which I kind of gathered onto that once you figured that part. I'm like, ah, it's clever with a name.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but with it being called First Steps, would you say that this is actually the first a movie for a whole reboot MCU?
I think that it definitely is leading to that, because coming off this year, we've seen Captain America, we've seen Thunderbolts, and even the Ironheart series, and more so the movies, not the series, but those movies have all left breadcrumbs, especially the end of Thunderbolts, and teasing what is all leading up to the big bad.
Yeah.
And
which everyone already knows what's going on, so.
That's right. You know. Spoilers, folks. Doomsday.
Yeah.
And Doctor Doom. And so they're doing all the groundwork now to head into Avengers Doomsday. And I think, and as I said to you, they've got a very unenviable task to make Doomsday work.
Before we go into more about that, though, with this, I feel like they should have released this before, before Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
And Captain America.
Yeah, and see, the release schedule, obviously, with the other films, I totally blame Marvel for it, because Thunderbolts was in development for 4 to 5 years, and yeah. was delayed and delayed and delayed. Even Ironheart was delayed, and Captain America was delayed, and also affected by reshoots. And so the order that these came out, I mean, even if you went all the way back to the Black Widow film that came out, that should have come out between Iron Man 1 and 2, or yeah. 2 and 3. But again, Marvel has kind of been like, well, you know, we messed up, deal with it.
Exactly. You know,
this is the schedule. And so, to answer your question more broadly, this film, I think it does a very good job of setting the path for a reboot, because it's a new chapter in the MCU, but it's also kind of saying goodbye to a large chunk that have come before it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with that, and I do feel like that this is such a more well done film other than the other ones, because it just feels more back to what Marvel was like when they did Iron Man and stuff. It feels very good and very established, and I feel like they're on the right track with this one.
Yeah.
But it kind of ruined, it kind of got a little bit ruined because of the other ones, because they released all those, and I'm like, if you started with this one would make more sense of a full reboot of the MCU. Of what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're trying to get people to still hang on to the other stuff still.
Yeah, you have a feeling like Marvel's a victim of its own success.
Yes.
Because, like, again, you can't dispute the dominance and popularity of characters like Iron Man.
Yeah.
And Robert Downey Jr. played him so well. And the thread through each film and the standing of his character and just his acting, it left a mark, especially after Endgame. So for Pedro Pascal and the cast to take the baton and run with this film, he's done an amazing job considering all the pressure that they have on them. And I think, again, like, setting it in the 60s on another Earth, they had a clean slate, so to speak, because on this Earth, they're not dealing with the complexities of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Avengers. These are the only superheroes that we know of on this Earth. Am I right?
That's right.
And so,
I'm glad that they did that.
Yeah. And so it gives them a chance to prove themselves to, you know, a new audience, a new generation of audiences. And obviously, the people who've been following the MCU for decades now, you know, I think that they can appreciate when there's care put into the stories. Where we touched on previously in our Marvel Fatigue podcast, Marvel literally were just putting out rubbish. They were just putting out stories for the sake of getting stuff out there. But the purists were following the thread, you know, that it was running through the films. So the fact that when you had stories come out that kind of made no sense, led to nowhere, there were end credit scenes which have never been re-explored, or little threads or character arcs that were never picked up again.
No.
So I think it's fair to say a lot of fans were frustrated, Kev.
Oh, me included, because I even said to you, I don't know if I really want to see this film, because because we've seen Thunderbolts. Whether even though Thunderbolts was a good movie, because it was something slightly different. It was a different tone. It was something a little bit different, but in the end still, it's still the same a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially with Captain America, that one, that one is just what it is.
And, and it left a kind of sour taste in people's mouths. And and I think you and I both, speaking to other people, other movie fans, the moment we mention Fantastic Four, they're like, oh.
Exactly.
You know?
And also, you got to take into account, another one, because this is now the fourth restart.
Yeah.
And it's like, what can you do?
And it's like, obviously, folks, we're not mentioning the Fantastic Four film that was released 10 years ago.
No.
It's crazy that it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But it was like led by Michael B. Jordan, and who himself, you can't dispute how amazing of an actor he is. Again, it didn't have the support that it needed, and it kind of was divisive. So people refer to the Sony original Fantastic Four films with great reverence, and because they were done so well. And just a mention, obviously, we recently lost Julian McMahon, who played Dr. Doom in those films, and he did an amazing job as Dr. Doom.
He did fantastic. Like, I said, I just rewatched him, and they still hold up. His acting is pretty good.
And it is a nice note to add that he was being interviewed one day, and he said that if he had one wish, it was that he could go back or even just have a chance to revisit Doom and do the character justice.
Yeah,
and it would have been. But we'll never get to see that. But still,
no.
We can enjoy what he did.
Yeah. And all right, Anthony. Well, I think we should go into a rating of this film.
And then
we'll do some spoilers.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Well, with the rating for me, it is going to be a 7.5, actually. Yep. So it's not as high as you would think, even though this is a good film. This is a fun film, but I have one big issue, which I'm going to talk to very in depth and spoilers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you, Anthony?
Yeah, I would agree. 7.5 popcorn buckets, folks.
Yeah. We're not saying it's a bad film. We're not saying...
Not at all. We both enjoyed the film.
But with us, it's... Well, with me in particular, it's... Yeah, it's just... There was something they should have done a little bit more. I tell you what, would have pushed me straight to the top. I'm going to get into it. I need to get into it.
I've got two words, folks. Emotional payoff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
100%.
So, folks, if you've gotten this far, we'd really appreciate if you could hit the like button and support us, subscribe. Please also follow us on our Facebook and Instagram, Two Guys, One Real Podcast. But also, we are available on Apple, Amazon, and Spotify podcast platforms. And if you want to hang around, we're going to come back to you with our spoiler section. We'll be right back.
Spoilers now, so we got a lot to say here.
This is going to be interesting, Kev. All right, so we have the added element in this film where Reed and Sue give birth to a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that baby's name is...
Franklin.
Yes, Franklin is the son that is born, and he is obviously subject to the celestial powers that Reed and Sue developed. Or in the incident, and when the Silver Surfer comes and presents the threat to them about Galactus, it's like they knew straight away that this wasn't something they could ignore, was it, Kev?
No, they had to figure out what it was to, you know, see how big of a threat Galactus really is.
That's right.
And so they get prepared, they do all their tests, and even Sue gets her own custom suit because she's pregnant, which I'm very surprised that no one even questioned her, saying, hey, you're pregnant. Why are you going into space?
Yeah, exactly. It's like when a lot of them, they don't even let women on planes when they're pregnant.
No one's questioning it. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I guess, you know, they know her powers. They know who she is.
Yeah. I was imagining that because she has the powers that she can, she can protect her body.
Yeah, but I thought that would have drained her a bit more.
Yeah, maybe.
Because when she uses her powers for too long, she does get drained.
Yes, that's true.
So, 9 months of that is a pretty long time.
But this also opens up the fact that because they have the presence that they have in the world, that they address the world widely about the threat, and that they have to go on basically a fact-finding mission. And so, as I said before, they're very well-resourced, and they have their own spaceship. So, obviously, the nice little nod to Stan Lee with the ship, the starship being called Excelsior.
That's cool.
I think that's really good. And the fact that they go out to what is like a time jump port, and which is part of, it hooks up with their starship, and they jump into the star system. And, you know, because when Silver Surfer came, she leaves, and Johnny went after her. And she is, like, saying, like, a prayer. Like, she's saying some words. And Johnny picks up on it very quick. He's very perceptive. And then he instantly is trying to get answers. And you find out he's pretty cluey, isn't he, Kev?
But, yeah, but also that is Reed has been tracking same sort of messages for a while now.
That's right, so that's right.
He's been aware that there's been a message out in the cosmos.
That's right.
And he hasn't figured out what it was, but it takes Johnny to put to it connect all together,
the dots, and
to
then
say that that's the Silver Surfer the whole time.
That's right. And so, like, when they discover the ship out there in the solar system, Galactus's ship, and they enter, and then they discover Galactus, where we first meet Ralph Ineson's character, Galactus. He has a presence. What a
reveal.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was very exciting seeing Galactus finally fleshed out.
And seeing it, like, because coming off of, like, I'm not a big comic book fan. I didn't really watch Fantastic Four, so I was aware of what he sort of looked like.
Yeah.
But seeing him on the screen for the first time, I was like, it's wow.
Yeah.
That was really powerful, because you just see his eyes flick, and then you see him come, and you're like, this and is someone you don't want to mess with.
He's very powerful. You can't deny it. And then, so, obviously, yeah, he tells him straight away when he realizes that Sue's pregnant. Like, he can sense it. He picks up it very quickly, and he basically tells her, I'll leave your Earth alone if you give me your son. And straight away, Sue's like, that's not happening.
Of course, you know, of course. Of course. We'll defeat you. Don't worry about
it. Yeah, that's right.
You know?
And so then, obviously, they don't come to an agreement. And so they get the hell out of there.
Before they go back to Earth, there is a sequence where they're trying to escape from Galactus.
That's right. Ship.
The Silver Surfer does intermingle with Sue.
That's right. And it speeds up the process with her pregnancy.
Yes.
And which is a very high-risk pregnancy as well, and she's at risk of losing Franklin, but then she manages to... Well, they manage to fend off Galactus, but she gives birth to Franklin.
Yep, in space.
Yeah, that's right. And when they get back to Earth, they present him to the world.
Yeah. But with that time, when they get back, like I said, they're a month back, so it's been a month since they left. So what I'm saying is, when they did the time jump, did that fast forward time, or was it extended time?
Yeah, I think it was a time jump.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was months.
Because to us, it felt like it was one day, and then
that's right. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. And like, so when they come back to Earth, I mean, you don't really account for the time, but it's there.
No. Yeah.
You know, and so obviously, they come back to Earth, and everyone's like, well, what's happening? Are we safe? And Reed usually has every answer, doesn't he?
Or Sue does.
Or Sue, yeah.
She's the big spokesman for them. That's right. For everyone. So,
yeah,
she doesn't have the answers.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, she's kind of the face of, like, what the equivalent of United Nations and everything. So they're heralded as leaders in this world. Yep. And so when they're not able to give the answers, well, people, you know, obviously are frightened.
Yep.
You know? And, but obviously, as you mentioned, Johnny's doing this, like, this mission, trying to put the dots together, isn't he, about this message?
Yeah, they're trying. He's trying to figure out who the Silver Surfer is, because obviously he's not smitten, but he's very curious of who she is, where she come from.
That's right.
And why does she want to destroy our planet?
Yeah, and then when she comes to them, he's telling her, "What you're doing isn't right." You know, like, you know, obviously you know what he's doing is wrong, and she, you can see the conflict in her, can't you? Yeah, exactly.
And not only the conflict was within Silver Surfer herself, but also with the citizens of this Earth, with the Fantastic Four. It caused a big division, because they're saying, you don't want to sacrifice your baby for all our lives, the whole planet's lives. Yeah,
that's right.
One life.
Yeah.
And that does a big pushback on Fantastic Four, where people don't trust them, because they're like, you don't care about us anymore. Yeah. All you care about is your family. I have a family too. What about us?
Exactly.
And that's a big conflict within Fantastic Four, within with them and their citizens, but within themselves, it shows how strong of a family bond they got.
That's right. Because
not one, but Reed does make a mistake, and he does say that he has thought of the reason why people are mad at them. It's a simple solution: give the baby over. And Sue doesn't like that. So they do have a little bit of conflict within each other and with the citizens, but their family bond does hold very strong.
Yeah, you can tell that even though he presents that option, like, they obviously love each other very much. And that's what binds them together.
Yeah, they don't really question each other. They trust. It's a good trust, and it's fantastic.
And he asks them to trust in him.
Yeah.
To have faith in him. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So that's when it presents the ever-present threat of Galactus approaching, and then, like I said, with the Silver Surfer, when Johnny works out the messages that have been out there in that universe, in like breadcrumbs, and he connects it all, and he finds out that the Silver Surfer was actually someone who saved her own world by sacrificing herself. Yep. And giving herself to Galactus to prevent the destruction of her world.
Mm-hmm.
But in doing so, she sacrificed her own humanity and became the messenger, kind of like the merchant of death, you know, going from world to world, and Galactus being the devourer of worlds. Yeah, she was witness to countless universes being destroyed.
Yeah, destroyed and just gone.
And so when Johnny presents to her that, you know, she's making a big mistake, and that, like, this Earth, you know, they're going to fight for it, and that she needs to stand up to Galactus. You know, what he's done is wrong. You got to fight back. You know, you got to fight this.
It takes her a while to come around, but
she's defensive at first, because she feels like she can't.
No, what do you want me to do?
Exactly.
But the Fantastic Four do find a way to try to defeat. Well, the first do two things. One, they try to teleport the whole Earth.
Yeah.
To another Earth. I was like, okay. But do you know what's really funny about that? So that touches on the 2015 movie.
Mm-hmm.
As in the 2015, they're all teenagers, and Reed makes a teleportation device to go to the planet Zero and back.
Mm.
And that's how they get into the problem. So I thought that was a little cool little...
A nice little nod.
Yeah, little intermingle. But so when they try to do this, obviously the Silver Surfer becomes aware of what they're doing.
And destroys every one of them.
Everyone. I'm like, except when that happened... Yes, except one. You know, plot armor. But... I thought that was that moment when you see this whole montage of the whole world coming together as a family, you know, together to help defend the planet, to transport it, to be destroyed. I was like, all that money and resources.
I know. That's what I was saying. It's like, it's crazy because they just have such faith in them that they say to them, we must do this. And they're like, okay. Yeah. And so
because Reed transported an egg.
Yeah, That's right.
And they're like, okay, we're done. We're sold. Cool.
That's right. Doesn't matter how much it's going to cost.
But yeah, that moment, I was like, God, all that resource. That's not cheap.
No.
That's not cheap. But that's what happens. So she destroys all the teleportation devices.
Yep.
Except for one, which is ironic, which is in...
New York.
That's right. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And which is ironic, because then it comes up with... Reed comes up with another plan to actually... push or actually put Galactus in that spot with a teleporter to teleport him to
which would be way. Into like a black hole
to the abyss of,
to the abyss, yeah, exactly.
Mm.
It's like a kind of like a mousetrap kind of thing,
yeah,
like a big and one
when yes, a very big one when Galactus comes though. When he comes to Earth, oh man, what an entrance.
Oh, there's no mistaking the threat. Jeez.
He just slams down to the ground in the ocean, ironically, right next to the Statue of Liberty, and gives it a good nod.
Yeah, he looks at it, doesn't he?
He looks at it like, what are you?
Yeah.
Puny.
Exactly.
And that's what I liked about Galactus. He just knew he was better than everyone.
But he's the scale.
Oh, man.
The size.
Massive.
Yeah. Oh. You know,
I was sitting there going, how the heck are you going to defeat this bloke?
Exactly. Like, the fact that he's got an instant, like, he's dead set there for Franklin.
And he is adamant. He scans over. He can find him and pinpoint him.
Yeah.
Which leads to when the Silver Surfer previously interacted with Sue. I reckon she marked him. Franklin.
Like,
to know where he is.
Exactly. Because obviously at one point in the film, folks... when the Silver Surfer reaches and kind of her hand goes through Sue.
And just slightly.
So what Kev's touching on is, you know, it's perceived that she marks Franklin.
Yeah.
And kind of like a beacon for Galactus when he comes to Earth.
So no matter where you go, he's going to find you.
And which kind of scuttles Reed's plans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when we're going from that to when Galactus is on... in the city now, he's walking, literally walking through buildings with not a problem. Mm-hmm. They set him on fire. He does not care. He just keeps walking. He is like a freaking Terminator.
That's right. He's relentless. Yeah.
And he's fantastic. And they do try to trick him. They make like a little baby capsule to put Franklin in it, and then they blind him for a few seconds, and then switch him.
Yeah, but he sees it, you know. Like
He sees right through it.
Yeah, clever bugs.
Yeah, that's right. And it's so good that. But which leads to my frustrating moment in this film that actually gave me the reason why I gave it a 7.5 is Galactus grabs Franklin. He gets him. Okay, so he got this little baby in his hand, his humongous hand.
Yeah.
All right, and the baby's crying. And I'm telling you what, when Sue, she gets up, she is just going at Galactus. She is firing on all the cylinders. She doesn't care. And
would you say that's her at her most powerful?
Yes. Mm. I feel like she is at her most powerful. Because no one else, because at first when she tries to stop him, he just shrugs it off. He's like, get away from me.
Yeah.
But you hear the cries of Franklin. And it really got to me because she was going that powerful. Because of her mother instinct.
Oh, yeah.
All right. This is her mother's instinct of kicking in, of like, you're not taking my baby. And she tells Reed, and Reed's telling her, stop. You need to stop. You're going, you know, too much. And she says to him, go get Franklin.
Yeah.
All right. And at this moment, I'm telling you guys, I was there. I was like, I was actually tearing up here. I was like, get that kid, man.
Yeah.
Get it.
But it's also. We were sitting there kind of like, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to go, like, to the point where she's lost full control of her power.
Mm-hmm.
And the stakes at this moment were just so high.
Massive. My emotions were at a moment high. And as you said, this is just pinnacle. And they push Galactus through the portal. They push him through, and then you think it's done. Sue passes out, and then Galactus comes back again, and then Johnny goes to sacrifice himself.
Yep.
And then the Silver Surfer pushes him aside, and then she sacrifices herself. So this whole movie is about sacrifice, all right?
Yeah.
So that was the message I was getting. So we go back to Sue, and she's not responding.
No.
And I'm like, this is the moment, Anthony. I was focused on that screen.
Same.
I'm sitting yep. there going, I was sitting there going,
she's gone.
In my mind, I'm like, she's gone. That's it.
Yeah.
That's
and,
it.
And did you find yourself sitting in there thinking, if she's dead, that raises the stakes for Reed in like in the path forward, what they've got to do, I mean, things they've got to prepare for, and like,
you have no idea how that moment, the whole cinema was quiet.
Yeah, it was.
This was the perfect. It was everyone was so quiet, but they put Franklin on her. So they put Franklin on Sue to say goodbye. Everyone was saying goodbye. I was in the moment. Tears were starting to come, man. I tell you, I was going to cry in the damn cinema.
Mm.
And her freaking finger moves.
The CGI kind of got me too on this, but yeah. Like, so the finger moves, and then it's basically Franklin with his celestial powers brings Sue back to life.
God damn it.
You know, and I remember looking across at you and you're like,
I was so mad. It's not because I didn't like Sue.
No.
It's not because I didn't like her character. It's nothing. It's the fact that this woman put all her power into saving Franklin.
Yeah.
And that is the most motherly thing to do, most family thing to do.
As you said, sacrifice.
Exactly. The whole thing was sacrifice. And then she comes back. I'm like, where was the sacrifice?
Yeah, like...
you had me on emotional high.
It was all for nothing.
That is right. That is right. See, I'm still getting so angry. I'm kicking everything around. that moment was so perfect. I tell you what, if they would have kept her dead, I would have been like, holy shit. Like, excuse my friends, but...
Yeah.
But I'm like, Marvel, awesome. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, because it means it would have set up like an arc in the story for Reed to have no holds barred. He knows he's got to prepare for... Because obviously this is not the last time we're going to see Galactus.
No.
But like it would definitely give a motivation to Reed.
Yes.
And to the others to prepare.
It would make Reed more powerful. Yep. It would make all of them more powerful to not mess with, to be honest. Like, because obviously these people are going to mingle with the other
MCU
characters.
There's not much explained about Franklin's power.
No.
It's basically, you're just perceiving it as you're seeing it. It's like, he has a power that no one else in the MCU has. You can't mistake that. Yeah. He's going to be very, very powerful as he gets older in future films. And as you said, because this is basically the soft reboot of the MCU, kind of what his presence in the future films is going to be like as he gets older.
And probably he might be the most powerful character we don't know. So we have to wait and see that.
Exactly.
But with the ending of this film, they obviously come back together, you know, celebrate. Everyone's happy. Yeah, except me. I was fuming. I'm never going to get over it. I'm never going to get over that.
Mm.
But, all right, so which also leads to a post-credit scene.
Yes.
Which I really want to touch on.
Yeah, so this is obviously, folks, where throughout the whole film, you don't see a sign of Doctor Doom.
No.
And obviously in the Sony films, he was a very big presence in those films.
Yeah, he had his own company.
He was a love interest, kind of like a love rival with Sue. And but obviously he had a big presence.
Yeah.
So we're watching this and we're like, okay, are they going to mention him? Is it going to be a nod or something? And then is a reveal and it's Franklin. And he's looking at a figure in a hood, which we all know is going to be Doctor Doom.
Green Goblin. No, I'm joking. It's Doctor Doom. But with that, though, which was really cool with that post-credit scene, is there was a little Easter egg-y... Oh, I picked up one Easter egg thing. So when it starts off, is you see Franklin and Sue. Sue's reading Franklin a book, because Franklin's about... What would you say? He's about... Four years old?
Four.
Yeah. All right, yeah. About 4 years old, and he's reading him a book called The Hungry Caterpillar, which I thought was pretty...
Nice little nod.
Which is really cool, a little Easter egg, because Galactus says to him he has the hunger. He's going to have the, you know, to devour things. And
that's right. I was like,
okay. That's
cool. They also did a little nod to Doom in the earlier part of the film when Sue's talking to the United Nations, and it pans across the nations, and it shows Latveria.
That's it. That's the one. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Latveria.
Yep.
And the seat was vacant. That's right. Yeah. So it kind of makes you think. It's like, Okay.
When are we going to see him?
Exactly. And so the fact that we don't see his face either. We see him, his back's to us. And
his mask is on the side.
But Franklin's looking at him.
Yeah. And Sue knows something's wrong because her power flicks up.
Yeah.
And see. So then it cuts to black.
Yes.
All right. So let's go into theory time.
Yes.
So we had a big discussion.
We did.
Anthony, while the filming. Also, there's two credit scenes.
It was a loving tribute to Jack Kirby and the original 1960s cartoons. And they did a very touching nod to Jack Kirby and the quote that basically, like, if you see the superheroes in the stories, you can see yourself in those stories. Yeah. And they touched on his birth date, and it represented part of why they represented this on Earth 818.
Yeah.
Because it was part of Jack Kirby's birth date.
Yeah, which is really awesome. And I felt like that should have been before the other post-credit scene. That should have been the first one, and then you should have seen the last one. But I think they wanted everyone to get excited about Doomsday.
That's right.
That they threw in that to be like, oh, I went, holy crap. So, but theories with what's happening after this, as if you've seen Thunderbolts, you would have seen at the end of the credit scene of Thunderbolts, you would have seen the Fantastic Four ship.
That's right.
Which is awesome. So, which leads into the theory of, obviously, we think that Doctor Doom takes Franklin, at least Franklin, and or Sue
into another universe.
Yeah, into it goes away to the other universe, which we think is going to go into the present Earth where the other MCU is.
Yes.
So, and as we talked, with Sue's death, I think would have made that a little bit more impactful. As actually, it would have made a huge, huge more impact, because if she died, Reed would have been like so protective of Franklin, because Sue sacrificed herself for him.
That's right.
So then Dr. Doom taking him, you'd be so angry, wouldn't you?
But I have even another thought. If Dr. Doom obviously realizes that Sue's there, he takes Sue as well as Franklin. So maybe when we go into Doomsday, we find that they are pursuing Doom because he took both of them. Because if she's confronting him and he's there for Franklin and she's trying to stop him, Doom is, as powerful as he is able to take them both. That sets up a very big possibility that what we saw at the end of Thunderbolts is them going after him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because obviously that means that Doctor Doom has come to the, to the Earth, so
That's right, and he's able to
just make sense.
Yeah, cross different universes and different Earths. So, yeah, that definitely is right up there.
Yeah. So that does lead well into it. And then, do you know what? But like we said at the start, I feel like if they would have had this come out before Thunderbolts, the Thunderbolt post scene would have made a lot more sense.
It would have, because you would have had it already in mind that they're a presence. And so seeing him at the end of Thunderbolts would have been like even more like, hey, you know, like, it,
but this can lead into so much more as we talked, not that time, but we've talked recently, as what you stated, is imagine if they brought in the different versions very different variants of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, which we've seen, obviously, in previous films, how they touched on in Doctor Strange and the Illuminati, and how Reed Richards was part of that. And so if we see a council of the Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, and maybe we'll see the previous actors reappear in a council coming together to protect the wider universe. Because, you know, we know already that other Universal actors are going to come back, like the X-Men stars and that, are going to be featured in the Doomsday film, because multiple Earths are affected. So,
That's right. And the multiverse is open, and everyone can use it for what they want.
Exactly.
And Doctor Doom obviously will know how to... He seems to be that powerful of a being that he is aware of the multiverse, and he knows what to do.
Yeah, and he'll know their weaknesses, their strengths.
Exactly. But what would be interesting to see in Doomsday, I feel, is if they're bold enough to do this, is put Chris Evans as a different Captain America and as the Human Torch as a different variant.
Well, I mean, that presents a good thought, because, like, there's all these theories that he's going to be Captain Hydra, or that there's going to be variants.
But you can do it. They can do it. You could.
100%.
Easily they can do it. It would make it look good. Yeah, and
totally.
If they brought him back as a Human Torch, just for a cameo, I don't care what you do with it.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. That would be
cool. Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Like, I think that the possibilities are endless, really. But I've been saying again and again, this next film has so much pressure to deliver.
Yes.
Especially because it's literally leading to a reboot. Kevin Feige has now said that when we get to the point of Secret Wars, which is probably not till 2028 at this rate, but hey, you never know with how long it takes for them to film these movies and put them together, that by the time we get to Secret Wars, that's when they're going to do their reboot and introduce the new X-Men and probably... start over with multiple characters. And I think a lot of people aren't going to respond well to that, Kev.
Well, if they take too long, it's going to lose the reference. It's going to, I'm not going to be interested.
Yeah. And again, you're not the first person to say that. There's a lot of people who are saying, you know what? We've followed this for a quarter of our lives.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of all that people know.
Exactly.
And in saying that, though, people just want good stories.
Yeah, and this is one of the good stories. If I would rather Marvel actually take the time to do a film like this one, rather than pump out the Captain America.
Yeah.
Or Thunderbolts, in a way. Thunderbolts was slightly better, is obviously better than Captain America, but not as good as Fantastic Four. Even though we rated it higher, but that's only because of what they touched on in that. But
it also presents different questions too. It's like they've already said now that going into Doomsday that Pedro Pascal, or Reed, is going to be leading the Avengers, which is going to create a lot of conflict. And we already know that by the end of the Thunderbolts that there's conflict already between the established Avengers, the new Avengers, which is the Thunderbolts, and now Fantastic Four being in the world now, they're saying that Reed Richards is going to lead the Avengers. So maybe him and Sam will have a rivalry?
Yeah, which could lead to another Civil War, which if they do that, I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, it's been done. You don't need to redo it again.
Exactly. So, and
there's going to be a conflict.
And then it makes you wonder. I mean, obviously, he's got a presence, a stage presence, you know, like the rivalry between the characters as well, like how they're gonna deal with that conflict, if they're gonna be able to overcome it, find a compromise, because again, can he replace the position that Tony Stark had as well, and the influence he had?
Actually, well, in their own world, yes, I highly agree they can do that, but going into the other planet, the normal one, if it's Iron Man's out of the question, then possibly Pedro Pascal, he could actually do it.
Well, also, like, if they're going to be multiversal characters, like a multiverse Captain America, maybe a multiverse Iron Man, maybe Iron Men.
Tom Cruise,
maybe. Hey, if they pulled it off without letting anyone in the world know, and
exactly.
Instead of revealing everything in trailers like they do, can you imagine how nuts cinemas worldwide would go if Iron Man appeared on screen and next thing, it's Tom Cruise?
Oh, that'd be great.
They would go apeshit.
That'd be great.
Yeah, it would be
great.
It would.
All right, we can go on for 8 hours about
we
this.
We really could.
I think we need to wrap it up.
But yeah, final thoughts, Kev. What do you reckon this is going to really lead to?
Well, as we said, it's going to lead into, obviously, a bigger conflict in Doomsday, of course, as this is the pinnacle movie for Doomsday.
Yeah.
We figured out what's coming now, so we just got to wait for it. And this needs to be good. Yeah. That's all it is. But with this film, though, if you look at it from a broader picture, it's still the same as The Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Mm.
But with little differences, and the setting's a little bit different. But overall, it still is a good film.
Yeah.
And the way Marvel's going with this, it's good.
Yeah.
It is good. They're slightly getting back up there again. But with one film, can they do it with just one film? No. You need to continue this uphill battle.
That's right.
So,
good stories.
And what about? Yes, good stories and established characters.
Yeah.
Unlike Ironheart. I think we really didn't need that.
Yeah, exactly. Or so, at least, you know my thoughts on Ironheart, but.
Exactly.
Again, it's all about timing as well. But sure. I think if they just put care into the characters again and didn't just release things for the sake of releasing them, and you could tell that they loved and cared for what they did, that it wasn't just rubbish, Secret Invasion. You know?
Like, I missed on that. I'm glad I did.
Yeah. Probably better that you did. But
again,
like, this film was a great start, leading into what is going to be probably one of the biggest films ever made in comic books history. But, I think they can do it if they just stay on this formula that they're doing now.
Yep.
But
highly agree, man. And thank you again, everyone, if you made it this far. We appreciate you again. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the like button. Comment. Yeah. What is your thoughts?
Stay along the journey with us, folks. Keep up the support. We've been seeing that we're getting a bit of traction with you guys, and we really appreciate it.
All right. And until next time, see you later.
On the next one.